The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world, or to the end of the eon, or in the English, to the end of this age. When I was getting a topic for this message, I had a number of thoughts to come through my mind. And then finally I felt impressed of the Lord to call the message tonight, Sound the Battle Cry. When Israel went forth to war, they answered the call of the trumpet. Before there was the trumpet, there was the ram's horn, which was sounded to call the armies of Israel into combat. I would say to you tonight that we are in a war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. There is in the world tonight an unseen war, a conflict that has been raging since the moment that Satan was cast out of the heavens. Jesus gives testimony to it when he says in the Gospel according to Luke, I saw the devil cast out of heaven. That war continues. It has taken a number of forms. In the world of religion, there is a tremendous war. There are 11 major religions in the world. Christianity is classified among them. But of all the religions of the world, there is but one that can boast a living head. If you could go with us tonight to the ancient ruins of the ancient cities of the eastern countries, you would find a mosque, a burial ground, a tomb. Somewhere the leaders of the great religions of the world have died and have been buried. But there comes forth out of an empty tomb in Jerusalem the echo of the words of the Savior, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I'm glad we are serving a risen, living Savior. The religions of the East have always been religions of superstition. They have always recognized a supernatural power. It is the business of the world, of the devil tonight in the world, to get people to thinking about supernatural powers. Now, the devil doesn't want people to think of supernatural powers in relationship to God. But he does want people to think of supernatural powers in relationship to himself. Now, the devil is a supernatural being. Scholarship and education long since turned its back on anything supernatural. But the pendulum is now swinging in the other direction. You know where the occult movement is strongest tonight? On college campuses across America. Among professors, among the student bodies. They are seeking for something supernatural. And the devil is pleased for men to follow supernatural teachings as long as they're not based on the Bible and as long as they do not relate to Jesus Christ. The false religions and the false cults and the occult creed in the world tonight is growing faster than any other movement, dangerously fast. Go to almost any college campus and you'll see a revival of Eastern religion. The same principles, the same fundamental basic foundation of the ancient Eastern religions, these principles are being revived all over America and around the world. It is a very sad hour in which we live. That's why I say we must sound the battle cry for the truth. For God has revealed unto us His word, and this book is true. Now, in the areas where the devil cannot get people to come outright and worship Him, and there are churches of Satan all over America, they have their congregations in Dallas and Fort Worth and all around the leading cities of the nation. Where the devil cannot get people to worship Him or to return to the superstition of the Eastern religions, you know what he's doing? He's confusing even born-again believers on the matters of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues in this age. Amen. It is a trick of Satan. There is not one line of Scripture, not one verse that supports or teaches the speaking of tongues in this age. And yet that movement is growing faster, almost as fast as the occult movement around the world. Baptists are being swept into it. I saw in the paper this last week two different advertisements where former Southern Baptist preachers have gone into the charismatic movement. Episcopalians and even Catholics. At Notre Dame, they're having what they think is a great revival. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is being perverted in the world tonight. And God help us not to get sidetracked from the most important issue. And the issue of this age is the proclamation of the gospel around the world. Let us then, because the battle cry has been sounded, go forth to fight the fight of faith, earnestly contending for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. There is no new revelation in the world tonight. God has spoken in the framework of this book, and this is it. This is the eternal and unchanging truth of God. Amen. Earnestly contending for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. In my message this morning, on the hospitality of God, I made this statement. One of the characteristic words of the Bible is come, used over 500 times in the Scripture. There is another characteristic word in the Bible that is a companion to the word come. And that word is go. G-O. The first two letters of the word gospel that spell out the good news of Christ. G-O. The word is go. God has put us in the going business. We dare not stop until God stops us. It ought to be our firm devotion and dedication to the ministry of the gospel to pray that the last breath that we ever breathe, we would be speaking out the truth of redeeming grace. A story that never grows old. I would that we had 10,000 tongues to say it tonight. Jesus Christ died for our sins. On the morning of the third day, He arose again. And He ever lives at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. And one day He shall come again to receive unto Himself all those that have been born into His family by the new birth. Sound the battle cry. I share with you three reasons why I believe we ought to sound the battle cry. First, we should sound the battle cry because we have been commissioned as soldiers in the army of the Lord. We are not a hospital for sick Christians. We are not a nursery for babies. We are a militant army marching toward an ultimate victory in Christ Jesus. I read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that Paul writes to young Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth," that is, no man who has entered the army of Christ, "entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Do you know what's wrong with Christianity tonight, Christians? That's the only thing wrong with Christianity. We are so engrossed. We are so involved in the things of this life and of this world that we do not take time to care for the things of the other world. You see, we are ambassadors in this life and upon this earth, and we should be taking care of God's business upon this earth. Soldiers. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul dresses up the Christian soldier. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." And here it is, "against spiritual wickedness in high places." Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the god of this world system. And there is an unseen war going on between the forces of right and wrong. And we are in the midst of that battle. Wherefore, Paul writes, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to keep a sharp sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always. Now, if you have observed carefully and closely, you've concluded one thing out of that passage of Scripture. There is no armor for the Christian's back. No armor for the Christian's back. The Christian must go headlong into the battle. Wars are not won retreating. This war in which we're engaged will not be won when we retreat and go in the other direction. I say we should sound the battle cry because we have been commissioned as soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen. And the captain of this army is Christ. He's the commandant. He's the generalissimo. He is the chief executive. He's given marching orders, and you and I must obey them. "Go ye therefore into all the world." If you're a soldier, you must be in the midst of the heat of the battle. And the battle cry must be sounded afresh and anew. The second reason that I say that we should sound the battle cry is because there is a worldwide fellowship in the gospel. A worldwide fellowship. In the world of ours, there are 3.5 billions of people. By the year 2000, if Jesus tarries his coming, the experts tell us that the population of the world will double. There'll be more than 7 billion people in the world in less than 30 years. Is it not incumbent upon us as believers, as Christians, to go about the world evangelizing? The truth of the matter is this: we are indebted to every single member of Adam's race. Jesus said in Mark 16, "Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. That doesn't excuse anyone. Somebody says, "Well, Pastor, I've never been called to go." Have you ever been called to stay? Every Christian is called and commissioned to go. Unless you've received some special calling to stay, you ought to be going. Beginning right here at home and going around the world with the gospel. You know, a lot of people think of God as a tribal God. He belongs only to one tribe. While there are certain denominations in the world today that who think that nobody else is saved but them. Aren't they going to be shocked when they get to heaven? There'll be a lot of surprises in heaven. Some of you will be surprised that you got there. You'll be surprised to see some people that you didn't think you were going to see. And you'll be surprised not to see some people you thought you were going to see. God is not a tribal God. God is not a provincial God. God is not a national God. God is the God of heaven and earth. He's the God of all nations, the God of all people. You don't really believe that God speaks English only, do you? You don't really think that God understands only your broken English, do you? The Japanese pray in Japanese and God hears them in Japanese. We pray in English and God hears us in English. The Eskimo worships in an igloo. We worship in a sanctuary like this. But the same God is rich over all, who has extended his mercy to all men. For he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. When God looked down from heaven, he saw the whole inhabited earth. When God sent his Son, he sent his Son to the whole world. When God loved, he loved the whole world. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for all men. The Bible says in Hebrews that he tasted death for every man. And I believe that. And I'm still convinced that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God draws no lines. In God there is no east and there is no west. There are no bondmen or freemen. There are no good or bad. In Christ Jesus, all are one. He is the God of the universe. And in this gospel, there is a worldwide fellowship. Old John the Baptist believed that, because he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, the whole inhabited earth." John, the beloved apostle, believed that. For he wrote in his first epistle, chapter 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation, the mercy seat, the sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." There is a worldwide fellowship, and we should sound the battle cry because of this worldwide fellowship of the gospel. I speak in the third place. We should sound the battle cry because millions are groping in darkness and dying in sin. Every time you breathe, four people go into eternity who have never heard the name of Christ. Every moment, 84 people die without the Savior. Someone has calculated that more than 160,000 people a day die without Christ. As I sat in my study at the parsonage yesterday morning, and as I read over the verses of Scripture, and as I thought about these statistics, my heart was broken. 160,000 a day. That's why Ralph Wilmer's in Mexico. That's why Bill Smith is in South America. That's why our missionaries are going around the world. That's why we are trumpeting the gospel from this place. Because while we sit here in the comfort and convenience of a free land to worship God, 98% of the world's population has never been evangelized. Now, they've been religionized, but they've never been evangelized. There came into my possession a poem this week written by Oswald J. Smith, who for more than 50 years has been the champion of missions in Canada and all across North America. Last year, their church gave something like $350,000 to missions. It's a poem about India, and I wanted to share it with you. Listen to these words. From afar there came a vision of the life that thousands lead. Weary hands outstretched, entreating, though unconscious of their need. And I saw that all my efforts were for those around my home, for I thought not of the millions who in utter darkness roam. Oh, that you might see the vision as I saw it long ago. Hear the groans and feel the sorrow. Know the depths of human woe. Hear the cry of souls in bondage, famine-stricken, faint and weak. Brahman outcasts calling for the light they vainly seek. Gaze upon a scene of horror till you shudder at the sight. Yet 'tis only one of thousands in this land of endless night. One unhappy little maiden, undeserving of the blame, all the vile, inhuman torture, only 12 when baby came. Anxiously the doctor watches through a mist of falling tears, tries to ease the little mother as the gate of death she nears. Here another little maiden married to a temple god. Though she live in wealth and comfort, better were she neath the sod. Thousands like her in the temples doomed to lives of lowest shame. Yet 'tis sanctioned by religion, practices too foul to name. Then there broke upon my vision sight of one once free from care, now a widow in her childhood, stripped of every jewel fair. Robbed of all her lovely clothing, left with garments coarse and plain, long dark hair, her pride and glory, severed from her in disdain. Ostracized from every pleasure, given but one meal a day, doomed to bitter persecution, shame or death, her only way. Do you wonder why I'm going? Do you ask me why I write? 'Tis because so many millions suffer thus in darkest night. And I plead, O sister, brother, praying God may speak to you, and that you will gladly labor where his laborers are so few. The population of India is more than 700 million people. Dr. Oswald Smith wrote this in 1913, 50 years ago. As I think about the millions around the world, I think of the multiplied hundreds and thousands in our community. What I read you of is, in essence, the terrible, awful prostitution of young girls in India to temple gods in a rite of religious ceremony. When I read it, I said to my wife the other day, we would be surprised how much of that is going on in our own fair city. Young girls sold into prostitution in the name of religion. You want to know why we talk about city evangelism? I'll tell you why. Because the man who is lost in Fort Worth is just as lost as the man who is lost in India. And I believe this. The more people that we can get saved in the city of Fort Worth, the more people we can send to India and China and the teeming millions in darkness and night around the world. For you see, if our light goes out at home, it cannot shine abroad. It must be kept burning brightly at this place. Why do we designate Sunday, August the 5th, as Auto Evangelism Day? Because in your community and mine, on your street and mine, in your block and mine, there are people who need the same gospel that we have. And I have a burden on my heart that the people of the city of Fort Worth ought to be reached. I've been very much impressed by the World Literature Crusade that's taking the gospel in printed page. Did you know that they've heard from over 700,000 people in India who've been saved by reading a tract with a gospel printed on it? I say to you tonight that we are in the midst of a field that's white under harvest. And there are teeming thousands in our area who need Christ. Let me ask you, why cannot we adopt as our slogan, as our theme, to express our burden for those around us without the Savior, something like this: the Word in every home and the Gospel in every heart. Is it too much? No, not really. Not really. If 100 people in this church, just 100 people, if 100 people in this church would set their minds to covering this city with a printed tract, we could do it. We could reach every home in this city. I am greatly and gravely concerned about where we go from here as a church. I see one of two courses. We can stay right where we are with the same staff in the same location with the same properties and maintain 400 or perhaps 500 in Sunday school. Or we can go out here and buy a piece of property that's easily accessible from the freeways and the loops around our city and add to our staff and enlarge our facilities and perhaps reach 1,000 people for Christ. It all depends on what we want to do. And I believe this. I believe that we can go out and purchase property and build a building, and it will not cost a single member of this church one dime. Not one dime. You say, but preacher, how can that be done? The more people we reach, the easier the load's going to be. If we win enough people to Christ, the added expenses will be taken. In the last 10.5 years, our church has spent $273,000 plus on missions. And I know immediately somebody says, well, if we'd put that in buildings and in property, where would we be? We might be dried up somewhere on the vine like a lot of other churches I know. But I believe God is going to honor that. And I believe God will supply the needs for this church to do anything under God that we want to do for Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. If I didn't believe that, I'd resign and let you get a pastor that did believe that. I repeat, we can stay right where we are and be comfortable, and we can go on just operating about like we're operating if we're satisfied to do that, or we can step out and launch out by faith and reach twice the number of people we're reaching with the gospel. I believe that with all of my heart. And the days are passing away. And Jesus said, work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We should sound the battle cry because we've been commissioned in the army of the Lord. We should sound the battle cry because there is a worldwide fellowship of the gospel. And we should sound the battle cry because multiplied millions are groping in the darkness and dying in sin without Christ. I have a footnote and then I'm through. We should sound the battle cry because the crowning day is drawing nigh. When they took the Apostle Paul out to the Roman chop block, he had just written his last New Testament book. And this is what he wrote. The time of my departure is at hand. I am now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Soon the crowning day. And until he comes, let us continue to sound the battle cry and occupy faithfully wherever we can. This is my battle cry to you. Go. Go across the street. Go next door. Go across the city. Go to the next county. Go around the world. But go for Christ. Because the battle cry has been sounded. Let us stand.